English Listening Comprehension Test, Spring 2008, Basic Level. This test is in four parts. Part 4 has separate directions. In Parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear part one twice. First, listen to it straight through.
Sometimes it's just nice to hear a story. Here's Dean King telling us a story.
There was a time in my life when beauty meant something special to me. I guess that would have been when I was 6 or 7 years old, just several weeks or maybe a month before the children's home turned me into an old man. After my parents died, I was sent to the children's home to live. No one wanted to take me in. At the children's home, I would get up every morning, make my bed just like the little soldier that I had become. And then I would get into one of the two straight lines and march to breakfast with the other 20 boys who lived in the same building with me. After breakfast one Saturday morning, I returned to our house and saw the house parent chasing the beautiful butterflies who lived by the hundreds in the bushes around the children's home. I carefully watched as he caught those beautiful creatures, one after the other. Then, taking them from the net, he stuck straight pins through their heads and wings, pinning them onto a heavy cardboard sheet. How cruel it was to kill something of such beauty! I had walked many times out into the bushes all by myself, just so the butterflies could land on my head and face and arms, just so I could look at them up close. When the telephone rang, the house parent laid the large cardboard paper down on the back cement step and went into the house to answer. I walked up to the cardboard and looked at one butterfly that he had just pinned to the cardboard. It was still moving about, so I reached down and touched it on the wing, causing one of the pins to fall out. It started flying around and around, trying to get away, but it was still pinned by the one wing. Finally, its wing broke off. It fell to the ground. I picked up the torn wing and the butterfly. I spat on its wing and tried to get it to stick back on, but it wouldn't. The next thing I knew, the house parent came walking back out of the back door by the garbage room and started yelling at me. I told him that I did not do anything, but he did not believe me. He picked up the cardboard paper and started hitting me on the top of the head. There were all kinds of butterfly pieces going everywhere. He threw the cardboard down on the ground. He told me to pick it up and put it in the garbage can inside the back room of the house. Then he left. I sat there in the dirt by a big old tree for the longest time, trying to fit all the butterfly pieces back together so I could bury them as they were in life. But it was too hard to do. So I said a prayer over them, and then I put them in an old shoebox and buried them out near the blackberry bushes. Every year when the butterflies returned to the children's home and tried to land on me, I would chase them away. They did not know that the children's home was a bad place to live and a very bad place to die.
Now listen to this story in five sections. Look at questions one and two.
Sometimes it's just nice to hear a story. Here's Dean King telling us a story.
There was a time in my life when beauty meant something special to me. I guess that would have been when I was 6 or 7 years old, just several weeks or maybe a month before the children's home turned me into an old man. After my parents died, I was sent to the children's home to live. No one wanted to take me in. At the children's home, I would get up every morning, make my bed just like the little soldier that I had become. And then I would get into one of the two straight lines and march to breakfast with the other 20 boys who lived in the same building with me.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
After breakfast one Saturday morning, I returned to our house and saw the house parent chasing the beautiful butterflies who lived by the hundreds in the bushes around the children's home. I carefully watched as he caught those beautiful creatures, one after the other. Then, taking them from the net, he stuck straight pins through their heads and wings, pinning them onto a heavy cardboard sheet. How cruel it was to kill something of such beauty! I had walked many times out into the bushes all by myself, just so the butterflies could land on my head and face and arms, just so I could look at them up close.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
When the telephone rang, the house parent laid the large cardboard paper down on the back cement step and went into the house to answer. I walked up to the cardboard and looked at one butterfly that he had just pinned to the cardboard. It was still moving about, so I reached down and touched it on the wing, causing one of the pins to fall out. It started flying around and around, trying to get away, but it was still pinned by the one wing. Finally, its wing broke off. It fell to the ground. I picked up the torn wing and the butterfly. I spat on its wing and tried to get it to stick back on, but it wouldn't.
Answer questions 5 and 6, then look at questions 7 and 8.
The next thing I knew, the house parent came walking back out of the back door by the garbage room and started yelling at me. I told him that I did not do anything, but he did not believe me. He picked up the cardboard paper and started hitting me on the top of the head. There were all kinds of butterfly pieces going everywhere. He threw the cardboard down on the ground. He told me to pick it up and put it in the garbage can inside the back room of the house. Then he left.
Answer questions 7 and 8. Look at questions 9 and 10.
I sat there in the dirt by a big old tree for the longest time, trying to fit all the butterfly pieces back together so I could bury them as they were in life. But it was too hard to do. So I said a prayer over them, and then I put them in an old shoebox and buried them out near the blackberry bushes. Every year when the butterflies returned to the children's home and tried to land on me, I would chase them away. They did not know that the children's home was a bad place to live and a very bad place to die.
Answer questions 9 and 10. This is the second part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
This morning, I'd like to introduce Cheryl Ansley. Cheryl is here to talk to us about the modern British family. Cheryl, what do we know about the British family?
For the last 20 years, I have been speaking about the breakdown of the British family. And now the former political leader, Ian Duncan Smith, has produced a massive 400-page report, Breakdown Britain, which documents what has happened.
And what is the main finding?
Just what I have been saying. The basic fact is that 70% of young criminal offenders and drug addicts come from one-parent families, sometimes called loner-parent families. When looking at this study, even when every other factor is taken into consideration, this remains the main fact. It is a clear social catastrophe.
What happens in this type of situation?
These teenagers, growing up in these one-parent families, are only with their mothers. They have never experienced either the loving care or the educational punishment of a father. They are completely lacking a male role model.
But don't a lot of single mothers simply live with the father of their children?
It doesn't work like that. In over half of the couples living together without marriage, the fathers are off before the child is five. Among married couples, the number is very much smaller, 6 times smaller.
This sounds just awful, but are things always just like this?
Of course not. Many people living together and many, many single parents are good parents. Good, loving parents. And most single parents are not responsible for having been left alone.
So then, what is the problem?
There are a growing number of teenage girls who produce any number of children by any number of fathers. Then they expect the government to look after them. And the tragedy is that for 30 to 40 years, the state has been all too willing to step in and try to be the parent. As bitter experience tells us, the state is no substitute for a proper family.
What message is being given to these girls?
All this state aid has the effect of discouraging marriage and encouraging single parenthood. Every teenage girl knows she can not only go to the head of the housing queue, but also claim more benefits if she produces a baby by some fellow she doesn't really know, rather than settling down with the father of her child.
What needs to be done?
We could look at the examples of France and Germany, where the tax system has been changed to support families where mother and father are married. In Germany, husbands and wives also get help with house loans, cheaper health insurance, and so on.
What is the government doing for married couples?
The changes started with the Conservatives many years ago, and they are continued by Labour to this very day. The tax advantages enjoyed by married couples have been removed entirely. You are actually penalised if you're married.
Cheryl, what then is your conclusion?
We now have a crazy system. If a couple are unemployed, their combined incomes actually rise by about one-third if they split up. 33% more money is a lot more money. And couples on the minimum wage would be better off by more than 10% if the father moved out.
Thank you for this interview, Cheryl. It's always interesting to hear from you. We look forward to hearing comments from our listeners who have other viewpoints on these issues.
Now listen to the same discussion in 5 sections. Look at questions 11 and 12.
This morning, I'd like to introduce Cheryl Ansley. Cheryl is here to talk to us about the modern British family. Cheryl, what do we know about the British family?
For the last 20 years, I have been speaking about the breakdown of the British family. And now the former political leader, Ian Duncan Smith, has produced a massive 400-page report, Breakdown Britain, which documents what has happened.
And what is the main finding?
Just what I have been saying. The basic fact is that 70% of young criminal offenders and drug addicts come from one-parent families, sometimes called loner-parent families. When looking at this study, even when every other factor is taken into consideration, this remains the main fact. It is a clear social catastrophe.
Answer questions 11 and 12, then look at questions 13 and 14.
What happens in this type of situation?
These teenagers, growing up in these one-parent families, are only with their mothers. They have never experienced either the loving care or the educational punishment of a father. They are completely lacking a male role model.
But don't a lot of single mothers simply live with the father of their children?
It doesn't work like that. In over half of the couples living together without marriage, the fathers are off before the child is 5. Among married couples, the number is very much smaller, 6 times smaller.
Answer questions 13 and 14. Look at questions 15 and 16.
This sounds just awful, but are things always just like this?
Of course not. Many people living together and many, many single parents are good parents. Good, loving parents. And most single parents are not responsible for having been left alone.
So then, what is the problem?
There are a growing number of teenage girls who produce any number of children by any number of fathers. Then they expect the government to look after them. And the tragedy is that for 30 to 40 years, the state has been all too willing to step in and try to be the parent. As bitter experience tells us, the state is no substitute for a proper family.
Answer questions 15 and 16, then look at questions 17 and 18.
What message is being given to these girls?
All this state aid has the effect of discouraging marriage and encouraging single parenthood. Every teenage girl knows she can not only go to the head of the housing queue, but also claim more benefits if she produces a baby by some fellow she doesn't really know, rather than settling down with the father of her child.
What needs to be done?
We could look at the examples of France and Germany, where the tax system has been changed to support families where mother and father are married. In Germany, husbands and wives also get help with house loans, cheaper health insurance, and so on.
Answer questions 17 and 18. Look at questions 19 and 20.
What is the government doing for married couples?
The changes started with the Conservatives many years ago, and they are continued by Labour to this very day. The tax advantages enjoyed by married couples have been removed entirely. You are actually penalised if you're married.
Cheryl, what then is your conclusion?
We now have a crazy system. If a couple are unemployed, their combined incomes actually rise by about one-third if they split up. 33% more money is a lot more money. And couples on the minimum wage would be better off by more than 10% if the father moved out.
Thank you for this interview, Cheryl. It's always interesting to hear from you. We look forward to hearing comments from our listeners who have other viewpoints on these issues.
Answer questions 19 and 20.
Thank you.
This is the third part of the test. In this part, you will hear 5 short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 21.
Have you heard what the latest thing in the Guinness Book of World Records is?
No, what is it? Something about eating too much food?
Nothing like that at all. Katie Malua has set a new record by performing the world's deepest underwater concert.
And where was that?
Well, the concert took place at the bottom of a gas drilling rig in the North Sea, off the coast of Norway. They were on the ocean floor. The entire 5-member band had to be medically checked and specially trained before they could go down. They were 300 meters below sea level. That's very, very deep.
I'll say.
Answer question 21, then look at question 22.
What is it about pure orange juice?
What's that?
Pure orange juice from the supermarket. You'd think that it had nothing in it but the pure juice of squeezed oranges. But it can have sugar, acids, even the juices of other fruit in it. That also means it will have less vitamin C.
Then that's a problem. Not to say what happens to the taste.
Answer question 22. Look at question 23.
Nothing seems to last. The Waldo Hancock Bridge was built in 1932. Now it's been replaced and will have to be taken down.
Why will it have to be taken down?
Well, it was built out of steel, but over 70 years ago. And steel rusts away over the years. It's a cable suspension bridge. The cables are not as strong as they were. It's feared that a fall storm might cause some damage.
Oh, I see.
Answer question 23, then look at question 24.
I was shocked when I was buying food for the dogs last week.
Why's that?
The pet shop was selling electric collars for dogs. I couldn't believe it. I told the shopkeeper I was disgusted and was told that quite a number of owners have bought them. These owners shock their own dogs in order to train them.
I can't imagine why.
Neither can I. I think these electric collars should be banned. There's nothing humane about them. And dogs learn better when we're kind to them and give them rewards. Dogs are just naturally playful.
Answer question 24. Look at question 25.
I got these socks for Christmas, last year.
And what would you like to do with them?
I'd like to exchange them. I don't really want red socks.
Oh, I think red's a fine color. But we always aim to please our customer. Do you have a receipt?
No, they were a gift. Can't I just change them for black ones?
Of course. Would you mind taking a moment to answer some questions so I could get the job done?
Okay, maybe. Why not?
Answer question 25. This is the fourth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate piece of news. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A, listen to this section.
Children, what will they come up with next? A 10-year-old schoolboy caused £300,000 of damage to a block of flats in Liverpool. He set off a firework in his bedroom. The rocket he lit flew into the curtains and set them on fire. The window wasn't even open. 30 people had to be helped out of the building while firefighters fought the flames. The boy still hasn't come up with a good explanation for what he did.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Children, what will they come up with next? A 10-year-old schoolboy caused £300,000 of damage to a block of flats in Liverpool. He set off a firework in his bedroom. The rocket he lit flew into the curtains and set them on fire. The window wasn't even open. 30 people had to be helped out of the building while firefighters fought the flames. The boy still hasn't come up with a good explanation for what he did.
Read question B. Question B, listen to this section.
Although they are some of the greatest bodies of fresh water in the world, the Great Lakes, between the United States and Canada, face a problem. Waste water is threatening the Great Lakes. Although vast sums of money have been spent improving wastewater plants, there are enormous amounts of raw sewage flowing into the Great Lakes. Whenever there is a hard rain, the rainwater flows into the sewers and mixes with the waste there. Then it flows into the lakes. This must not be allowed to continue.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Although they are some of the greatest bodies of fresh water in the world, the Great Lakes, between the United States and Canada, face a problem. Waste water is threatening the Great Lakes. Although vast sums of money have been spent improving wastewater plants, there are enormous amounts of raw sewage flowing into the Great Lakes. Whenever there is a hard rain, the rainwater flows into the sewers and mixes with the waste there. Then it flows into the lakes. This must not be allowed to continue.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section.
A man in Sheffield is in trouble. Really bad trouble. He faked a sick note that said he needed time off work because he was pregnant. He stole a medical certificate from a health centre where he had been with his pregnant girlfriend. Apparently, he had no idea what kind of doctors worked at that kind of health centre. Poor fellow. The police who looked into the matter couldn't keep from laughing aloud.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
A man in Sheffield is in trouble. Really bad trouble. He faked a sick note that said he needed time off work because he was pregnant. He stole a medical certificate from a health centre where he had been with his pregnant girlfriend. Apparently, he had no idea what kind of doctors worked at that kind of health centre. Poor fellow. The police who looked into the matter couldn't keep from laughing aloud.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
The state of Iowa is known for growing corn and pigs, but now something else has happened. Michelle Winter, an adopted Iowa woman, decided to search for her biological mom. She discovered that her real mother was Kathy Hicks, and that she had worked with Kathy about 5 years before in the same beauty salon. And Michelle was still working at the same hairdresser's and beauty salon. And Michelle and Kathy had gotten along really well as workmates. Now, if that doesn't beat all.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
The state of Iowa is known for growing corn and pigs, but now something else has happened. Michelle Winter, an adopted Iowa woman, decided to search for her biological mom. She discovered that her real mother was Kathy Hicks, and that she had worked with Kathy about 5 years before in the same beauty salon. And Michelle was still working at the same hairdresser's and beauty salon. And Michelle and Kathy had gotten along really well as workmates. Now, if that doesn't beat all.
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
What sort of music does one usually hear when moving about? Lifts and shops have their own music, but now there's something new in the back of a London cab. The taxi has opera music playing in the back. The opera singer Bryn Terwyl has hired the cab as a moving advertisement for his latest album. This is felt to challenge stereotypes of cabbies. Actually, many taxi drivers do listen to music, which takes their minds off the noise of the road.
Now listen to this again, and then answer the question.
What sort of music does one usually hear when moving about? Lifts and shops have their own music, but now there's something new in the back of a London cab. The taxi has opera music playing in the back. The opera singer Bryn Terwyl has hired the cab as a moving advertisement for his latest album. This is felt to challenge stereotypes of cabbies. Actually, many taxi drivers do listen to music, which takes their minds off the noise of the road.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. In addition, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.